The path to a better life begins with a simple step. Empower Radio presents Simple Steps, Real Change with Cheryl Maloney. Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Cheryl Maloney.
You give up the life that you know, the one you may even be good at, to pursue your dream? And what if in doing so you left your financial security behind? Is your dream worth pursuing? My guest today is Steve Rizzo, the attitude adjuster and author of the book, Get Your Shift Together. Steve left a successful career as a stand-up comedian working with the likes of Ellen DeGeneres and Jerry Seinfeld to help us realize that happiness is a choice, and so is our attitude. Steve, welcome to the show today.
That's quite an introduction.
You're quite a man. You have been through an awful lot in your life. What happened? I mean, you had a really successful career, and you literally made a decision to walk away from it. How come?
Well, throughout my career, my opening acts were guys like Rosie O'Donnell and Drew Carey and Dennis Miller and quite a few others, and I realized that they were getting the big breaks, and they were passing me by. And I couldn't understand why opportunity wasn't knocking on my door. And I realized that it was. I was just afraid to open it. I realized I had a fear of an intense fear of success and failure. So I said, enough of this. And I stopped the partying and all the stuff I was doing and went on a self-help quest to better myself and read almost every self-help book you can think of, business books on how to achieve your goals, and went to motivational seminars, Tony Robbins seminars, and through the years, this was a gradual process. I started changing inside of me, and my perspective on the outside world was changing dramatically. And ironically, that's when the comedy industry was really interested in me, but I was no longer interested in them, and I left and decided to become a motivational speaker, which totally flipped everybody out because they had no idea that that shift was transpiring in my life.
Well, that's really interesting. They probably thought you were a little crazy to walk away from something that really had you in the limelight and was pretty lucrative.
Yeah, absolutely. But the cool thing is that the tools that I use to turn my life around are the very tools that I use when I speak to corporate America and when I give my private seminars.
Well, your book is Get Your Shift Together, which I absolutely love that title. And you squarely place the responsibility for our happiness on us. Why is it we think that we're not in control of our happiness?
Because most of the time, especially today more than ever, we're focusing on what we don't have rather than concentrating on what we do have. And that's it's a mindset that most people in this country just can't get rid of. And in the book, I show them how to.
Well, and you talk about, I mean, it really truly is, if you're grateful for what you have and you focus on what you have, life is definitely more positive than if you're living in that space of I don't have, or I'm a space of lack, so to speak.
Exactly. The more you focus on your lack, the more of that you're going to get back. I totally believe in the law of attraction. I totally believe in the power of your thoughts, and your thoughts, what you think is what you become. And you write the story of your life because those thoughts formulate your beliefs, and your beliefs dictate the way your life is going to go. And most people wake up every morning and just keep complaining about what's wrong, and they can't see all the wonderful things that they have in their lives. And if you build from there and keep adding to it and start creating habits that way with a healthier attitude, you'll notice that life becomes a little easier and more things start coming your way.
Well, that's really interesting. I'm curious, in your life, were you always grateful for what you had, or were you in one of those places where you saw the lack too?
Oh, I saw the lack too, especially during the comedy times when everyone was passing me by. I couldn't understand what was going on. I found out something, and once you come to the realization, it kind of hurts at first. It doesn't. Everyone in your inner circle could look at you as the ultimate success person and the person that's going to make it next and thinking you're the best at what you do. And that doesn't mean anything unless you believe it yourself. You have to believe in yourself. You have to believe in what you're doing. And a great majority of the people out there don't have that belief in themselves, and therefore they unconsciously sabotage their lives.
Well, I've seen that time and time again. So you have gone through all of this journey in that transitional phase to all the self-help books and reading and probably attending seminars and everything that was out there. What was it that caused you to write your own book, to write Get Your Shift Together?
Well, I realized a lot of people were telling me that I really had something. These tools that I use are really basic intangibles. They're not, it blows me away that if you were to buy self-help books and listen to other people talking about how to better your lives, that they don't consider these tools as the main criteria for leading a successful life and for helping you to bounce back from stressful times. But nonetheless, they were the very tools that I used to turn my life around, and also the tools that my brother Michael used to turn his life around. And he's 100% disabled as a result of the Vietnam War. His story is in the book, too. And I just took those tools and I said, man, if they could work for me and my brother, they can work for anyone. And the feedback was absolutely incredible.
And that's what became Get Your Shift Together. So I'm curious about that title. How did you come up with that?
I started writing the book and I had no idea that the word shift was coming. And I hated to use the word change because a lot of people are afraid of change, even reading it. If you read a book and you tell people that they have to change their lives, they just go, oh, no, I don't want to do that. So, but if you tell them that all they have to do is shift their focus and shift their way of thinking and shift on what's working rather than fixating what isn't working and shift on what you're grateful for, if you can do that and create these slight little habits, your life does change, but you don't have to use the word change. So I started realizing that as I'm writing, I'm crossing out the word change and I'm putting in this word shift. And then finally, I guess after a day of writing, I said, I guess I'm just asking people to get their shift together. And I went, oh, my goodness, that's the title of the book. And that was it. And I show people how to shift their focus and their way of thinking to turn challenging times into opportunities.
Well, and in your book, you call that a power shift in focus. Can you talk a little bit about what that means?
Yeah, a power shift in focus. That's something I realized after studying truly successful, happy people and optimistic people in life. These people, happy and successful and optimistic people, are not exempt from the trials and tribulations of life. They go through some intense moments themselves. In fact, some of the happiest, most successful, optimistic people I know had to overcome incredible odds to get to where they are today. In fact, some of them are going through some major stuff right now. But they all have this incredible way of shifting their focus and their way of thinking. What I mean by that is that they have this way of this feeling of taking these timeouts, and they focus on things that lift their spirits and the things that just make them feel better. They stop in the midst of real stressful situations, and they have a tendency to bless the things that life is giving them rather than cursing what life hasn't given them. And they all have this incredible way to find the laughter in between the tough times. And these are the things that help them not only but to bounce back, but not to stay in that negative zone. And they don't look at life as an apocalypse. It's the end of the world. They simply have a way of shifting their focus and looking at it as it's a challenge. That's what life is about. We're all confronted with some intense challenges. Some of them are minor. Some we make bigger than what they have to be. But life is about experiencing challenges. It's what you do about the challenge that makes the difference. And these people, these optimistic, happy, successful people, have this way of, in the midst of these tough times, to shift their focus and their way of thinking. And it doesn't negate that they're going through the tough times. It just lets them know that there's still some good that you can hold on to while you're experiencing the tough times. And that's what a power shift in focus is all about. Well, you're shifting your focus in the midst of challenging times to see the good in it.
And that really is. I mean, it's a very simple concept. We get so tied up in whatever's going along at that given moment, whatever that challenge is, we so focus on what's going wrong that we lose sight of everything else that's around us. So I think that's a really important point, is to stop and say, okay, what can I be grateful for right now? And use that energy, that shift, as you say, to focus on what's more positive. And I like the way you put it, to lighten your spirits.
Yeah.
And You made a comment in there that we're obviously, with your background in stand-up comedian, you talk about using laughter. So why is that so important in this shift?
Well, in the book, there's a chapter called Humor, the Instant Mind Shift, because it is. I have studied this thing, humor, for years. I consider myself an expert on humor and the power of positive thinking. And one of the most amazing things that I found is that humor literally nips negative thought patterns in the bud before they blossom into emotional havoc. That's the main reason why people go to comedy clubs. They go because it makes them feel good. There are people in the audience, I realized so many times when I was doing stand-up, and even when I give my speeches, I'm always funny. I have the ability now to do my stand-up and give the message now that I'm a speaker, which is cool. But I look out and I see these people sitting in the audience, whether it's 200 or 8,000 people, and I know a lot of them are going through some very, very intense stuff, divorce, illness in the family, financial woes, whatever it may be. But for that moment, that laughter is making them forget their problems and probably helping them not to compound the problems. So that when they leave, they're feeling, hey, you know what, I can still laugh, and if I can do that, you know, I can handle almost anything that life throws at me. My brother Michael, who was 100% disabled from the war, he would say that it was his sense of humor more than anything else that helped him to bounce back when he didn't think he can do the impossible.
Well, that's really interesting. And Michael obviously is a success story many, many times over because of his attitude. How do you help people that go, it's irresponsible for me to take light of whatever's going on right now? This is a serious matter. My child is sick. My spouse is sick. I can't laugh at this. How do you help them get through that?
Well, I turn it around. I said, that's when you're supposed to laugh. There have people that have said to me when I give my workshops, how do you expect me to find the humor in life when I was diagnosed with cancer? I said, well, that's why you have to. Because I show them, and this is important for your listeners too, we have to understand that there's a difference between laughing at something that's serious and laughing off the fear that represents it. We have to allow ourselves to laugh off the fear. That's why we have this gift. And as Mark Twain said, nothing can stand against the assault of laughter, not even fear. And you find, and even if you can't find the humor in the situation itself, just allow yourself to laugh at the things that are around you, you know, the people, the situations, the absurdities of life. Even if you have to put on the TV and watch a sitcom or a comedy or whatever it is, you owe it to yourself to laugh. And that's the thing, the very thing that helps you to bounce back. It's like the old TV show MASH. How many times have you noticed Alan Alda, who's in the operating room, and his hands are inside some kid's insides, and there's blood splurting all over the place, and bodies are being brought in by the dozens. And what do we notice he does all the time when this is happening? He's cracking jokes. But by cracking the jokes, he's not negating the seriousness of the subject matter. He just intuitively knows that his sense of humor is the only saving grace in a place where there seems to be so little hope. And if anything, that humor always helps him to bounce back, to get the job done, to give him the courage what needs to be done, which is what? To save lives. And that's the perspective I go by when I try to relate how important humor can be. And unfortunately, in our country today, we're getting so politically correct that we are stifling our laughter genes and our humor genes.
Well, and you refer to the humor being in your book. Could you talk a little bit about what that is?
Yeah, your humor being is of your higher self. It is the part of you that brings out the best in you when times get really tough. What your humor being can give you more than anything else is emotional stability. Your humor being is that little nudge letting you know it's okay to laugh, and you need to laugh. And some people haven't used that part of themselves in such a long time, and I try to show them that if you just tap into it and to see the humor that is around you, regardless of the situation, you can survive it. Bill Cosby said, when his son was murdered, and I'm paraphrasing now, when Dan Rather asked him in the interview, now that Bill Cosby's son is no longer with us, how is Bill Cosby going to deal with this? And he said, Dan, it's time for me to tell the people that we have to laugh. We simply have to laugh. If you can find the humor in anything, you can survive it. You know, and these people have gone through some intense stuff. I met Christopher Reeve at the end of one of my speeches, and the story's in the book also, where he claims that his sense of humor was the single most important thing that helped him to bounce back when he was going into the numb zone, which is a zone that's even beyond the negative zone. And he said, even though it was tough, he goes, I always knew I had to find the laughter. And he insisted on surrounding himself with people who would make him laugh and would see the brighter side of life. And he accomplished more in the last 9 years of his life and his condition than most people would ever do in a lifetime.
Our life. And that's such a powerful example of a person with resilience despite all odds. Well, another thing that you talk about in your book quite a bit, actually, is to take the time to actually enjoy this journey that we're on. Why is it that you think people don't?
Because corporate America is very guilty of this, because they're waiting for something to happen for them to be happy. They're waiting for the goal to be achieved. And we do it. You probably do it. We all do it. I still catch myself, and I try not to. I'm really good at not doing it now. But we always say, you know what, I'll be happy when the weekend gets here. I'll be happy when I achieve my goal. I'll be happy when I achieve my fitness goal. I'll be happy when the kids leave the house. I'll enjoy my life when I get more respect. I'll enjoy my life when somebody appreciates me. And we just keep creating these incredibly dangerous habits and mindsets, not realizing that we're creating self-fulfilling prophecies. So you're always putting your happiness on hold because you're telling yourself you can't until something happens, when happiness is right in front of you. You know, Abraham Lincoln said it the best. People are about as happy as they make up their minds to be. And I used to think that was a load of
crap. It's
crap.
Okay.
Yeah. Can I say that? Yeah, okay. I really did, because I realized that, no, it is. Happiness is a choice. You do that by focusing on what you have and stop fixating on what isn't working or what has happened to you. How many times have you heard something happened to a person during the day? They had an argument with someone. Okay, the argument's over, but that person has to go for an entire week telling everybody about that argument. And by doing that, they're reliving the argument over and over and over again. And people have another mindset people create, is that things have to go their way in order for them to be happy. And if you're going to have that mindset in life, you're going to be miserable, because things aren't always, most of the time they won't.
And just like you're saying, happiness is a choice, being miserable is also a choice too.
Yeah, but that's just it. We don't know that. We're making an unconscious choice that way, and that's what's scary about choices. Whether you make them consciously or unconsciously, there is always a consequence. And those people who have created those mindsets don't even know why their lives are miserable. They don't know that as soon as they wake up in the morning, they can't understand why they're going through the day in low energy, because as soon as they open up their eyes, they're focusing on all the terrible stuff and the crap that happened to them the day before, the idiots they had to deal with, the traffic jam, and then they start thinking about, oh, now I got to get the kids ready, and I got to get dressed and eat breakfast myself, and I got to do... And that's how they're starting their day, instead of saying, wow, this is a new day, and God, I love my family, and I love my house, and even if you don't, there's got to be something you're grateful for. Hold on to that and build from there and keep going.
It's a powerful way to start the day, because you're absolutely right. If you started off thinking that all of life is a chore and you have to work through all of your days, even as much as taking care of your children or, you know, driving to get to work, yep, of course you stay in this negative place. But like you point out, if you get up and say, you know what, I love my children, I have a wonderful family, I'm going to go spread that love,
yep,
you start out very differently in the day. So it very much is a choice.
And not only that, the more you do it, the more it becomes a part of who you are, and therefore you have created a healthy habit. And that's what it's about.
Well, as you're out on the road and you talk to corporate clients, and that's something that's a little different world, because coming from the corporate arena, which I did for 25 years too, it was all about the profit. It was all about the next goal. It was all about, we have to be successful. And that creates its own set of negativity all by itself, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It puts pressure. It reinforces the mindset they already had in their personal lives. And everything is based on how much can I get and how can I achieve the goal, not realizing that if you're making a conscious choice every day to enjoy yourself during the process of achieving that goal, the chances are you're going to get there faster. And what an incredible feeling it is when you do achieve the goal and you said, man, I had a blast doing it. I mean, that's the essence of success. It totally amazes me that if you look up the definition of success in any dictionary, it just says achieving your goal or getting that which you desire. Nowhere in that definition are the words happiness, joy, or joyful, enjoyment. None of those words are there. And I when I speak to corporate clients sometimes, and it's amazing, you could hear a pin drop when I say this, and you can actually see people getting uncomfortable, and they're loosening their ties and straightening their suits and dresses and every other thing. And I'll say, listen, I don't care who you are in this room. I don't care how much money you make. Everybody in your inner circle, everyone in this room could look at you as the ultimate success story, but here's the bottom line. If you're not happy, you're not successful. If you're not enjoying yourself during the process of whatever it is you're trying to achieve, you're ripping yourself off, and believe me, there's enough people out there that'll do that for you. You could hear a pin drop when I say that.
Wow, that's really amazing. And how do you help, especially someone that's been in that mindset, whether it's corporate or it's personal, how do you help them just take the first step, so to speak, to make that shift?
Well, I tell them, first of all, I can only give you the tools. It's up to them as to whether they use them or not. And you don't expect to do it overnight. I do urge them, whether you purchase my book or somebody else's book, there are programs out there that can show you how to shift your focus and your perspective. However, I don't believe there is anyone that focuses on the importance of making a choice to enjoy yourself as much as I do, and the importance of how humor can help you personally and professionally. And I tell them you have to create these habits, and I tell them every morning, it starts. Your whole day starts as soon as you open up your eyes. That's when you enter into consciousness, and your creativity is at its most powerful. At that moment when your eyes are open, you have the incredible ability to steer your thoughts and your emotions in the direction that you want them to go, not in the direction that they're telling you to go. And that's how you start your day. You steer them the way you want them to go. You focus on what's working, on what you're grateful for, and all the wonderful things that you are as a person. Why should you focus on all the crap? Why should you focus on the stuff that's bringing you down? That doesn't make sense. But yet, that's what so many people do.
Well, Steve, I think that's incredibly powerful, and it truly is. And I'm all about simple. It's such a simple thing to do, but you've pointed out we have that choice to get up with a positive attitude or get up with a negative one. And I love it. Well, if you could tell our audience, your book is Get Your Shift Together, and it's available anywhere books are sold, correct?
That's right. And you can also go to my website, SteveRizzo.com. You could order it right there. It's on every page of my website. You can order it from Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It's your choice. You can click on and just purchase it. It's getting great reviews. Just read the reviews on Amazon. They're really real. I'm very blessed that this book is just affecting people like it is. I'm real happy about that.
And your happiness is your journey, and you're sharing that happiness and the secrets that are not really secrets with the world. Well, Steve, thank you so much for being on the show today. We'll have information about Steve's book and his website up on the Empower and the Simple Steps website shortly. So, Steve, have a wonderful day, and thanks for being with us this morning.
Thank you for helping me spread the message. I really appreciate it.
All righty. Take care.
Bye.
Well, for everyone, that was, again, Steve Rizzo, Get Your Shift Together, and his website is www.steverizzo.com. And the recording of the show and all those links will be up on our website. Today's a little different, and I want to take a moment before you go off onto your busy days, and I want to let you know about a couple of very exciting things that are going on right now and this week. First and foremost, my dear friend and the creator of Empower Radio, Brent Carey, has launched a brand new website. So while you're here, I hope you'll explore the Empower website and take a look at the other shows that are out there that absolutely are positive influences in this world. I want to thank Brent and my producer, Mike, because without the two of them, this show absolutely would not be possible. So please, by all means, take a look at Empower Radio and see what you can find to empower your life even more. Now, next up on Simple Steps, Real Change on Empower Radio, we're doing something different. I'll be featuring the inspiring Bonnie Lonsberry, whose new book, The Map, launches this Thursday, which is May 9th. Now, Bonnie's been on our show before, so if you go to the show archives for Simple Steps Real Change, you can listen to a couple of her shows. Bonnie's new book, again, is The Map, and she has become a mentor to me and probably one of the most inspiring people that I have ever met. Bonnie's a person who sat in her car one day and was grateful for that $164 a week she made as a temp after she lost just about everything in her life, including her marriage, her children, her job, her financial security. And today, Bonnie flies by private jet between the Bahamas and her second home in Colorado. Bonnie's book, The Map, will provide you with the steps, the simple steps, to make that same type of shift in your life and make your dreams come true. She is a wonderful person, and we are going to dedicate the next three shows to Bonnie's book, The Map. And next week, it is all about creating your own reality. So for today, remember that life is truly a journey, and why not enjoy it along the way? Have a great week, everyone, and we'll see you next week.